Several weeks ago, am I on? Okay. Several weeks ago, I removed the first row of chairs on each side up here, the front, because I had this vision, this desire to see the front of the church just filled up. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Today, I'm going to preach to you a sermon that I had written for last week. Last week found me laying in a hospital bed and unable to be with you, and I sorely missed being with you. But this message that I believe that God really inspired, laid on my heart, I still believe. I asked if God still wanted me to bring that message, or if maybe that's why he's had me in the hospital so you wouldn't hear it. But I believe that he told me that no, this is the message. And when I found out that there weren't quite as many folks here last week, maybe it was because maybe if you're here today and you weren't here last week, maybe it's for you. Amen. If you were here last week and you're here today, maybe it's still for you. Amen. Okay. Last weekend, we celebrated Independence Day, right? January 4th is my anniversary day. July 4th is Independence Day. I lost my independence on January 4th. Thank you, son. July 4th was Independence Day. That was last Saturday a week ago. My intentions were to preach on the 5th, the day following Independence Day, a sermon titled Dependence Day. Okay? And that's what you're going to get today, Dependence Day. Last week was Independence Day. Today is Dependence Day. Last week we celebrated our independence. My voice just, I was singing too loud, I think. Last week we celebrated our independence from England and the beginning of the United States of America. Today we celebrate the fact that we're really not independent, but rather dependent upon a God who is all-sufficient, all-powerful, and all-knowing. He is a loving, gracious, merciful, just, compassionate, and comforting God. But he's also a God of wrath, and he is jealous. It is upon him that I depend for everything in my life. I will look to no other for my provision, for my protection, for my guidance, and for my healing. I can gain eternal life through no other avenue than through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let me first begin by saying that emotionally, I've been down somewhat. I've been somewhat even depressed and discouraged recently, largely due to the recent events in our country and the actions of the Supreme Court of the United States. It seems that our country has been in a downward spiral for quite some time, but most recently the pace seems to have quickened. It's an emotional roller coaster, because just when we think we have something that's turned in the right direction, a higher power has overruled and reverses any gains that have been made. And this is evident in a few of the recent Supreme Court decisions concerning the right for same-sex couples to be legally joined, and for the stay of the new Texas law concerning abortion clinics. I don't know if you're aware of all of those things, but the Supreme Court passed a ruling that says that all 50 states have to recognize the right for same-sex couples to be legally joined in union, and they use another word that I'm not going to use. But and then also there's Texas had passed a law that said, as far as abortion clinics go, let's at least require them to meet the same medical standards and practices as a regular medical facility, right? Wouldn't you think? I mean, it's an invasive medical procedure. Let's at least ask them to up their standards to meet what you would find at a doctor's, which required in a doctor's office or a hospital. And let's at least do that. And the doctor in charge of the clinic has to have admitting rights at the hospital. I have a hard time finding anything wrong with that. Right. Except that it still allows for some sort of abortions. But I have a hard time. Well, Supreme Court says, well, you know, hang on a minute. We're gonna have to take a look at that law. The Supreme Court told Texas, I know you passed that law, but hang on a minute. We're going to take a look at it. That law cannot go into effect. It was supposed to go into effect July 1. Okay? Could not go into effect because the Supreme Court decided we're going to accept that case and we're going to look at it. But we're going on summer vacation, so we're not going to look at it till we get back. So in the meantime, everything's as it was. That law's not in effect yet. So anyway, all of that stuff. We have people coming into churches. There's a black Methodist church up in, was it South Carolina? a white gentleman walked in there and said, I would like to join, come and have Bible study with you. They said, come on in. They wrapped, opened their arms, said, come in, we'd love to have you with us. Came in. He spent an hour in their basement with them in Bible study. They opened their arms to him. And then he opened up his bag and pulled out a gun and started shooting. Stuff like this. And you can just turn on the news and it's just stuff right and left. And it's disheartening. I thank God that in Texas we still have what's called the Pastor Protection Bill. Governor Abbott signed it into law that tells me that I do not have to submit to pressure to perform same-sex unions. However, yes, I'd clap for that. However, I'm also aware that due to recent decisions that no law is guaranteed to stand. But God's laws are eternal. And it's upon His laws which I will build my values, and I will tell you that I will not perform or be associated with any such unions. I refuse to call them marriages because marriage is defined by God, and this certainly does not fit God's definition nor His design for marriage. And as I earlier stated, in Texas I'm currently protected, but there may be a time in the future, there may come a time in the future where that protection is removed. And you need to know that as a church, if that protection is removed, we very well may come under fire because I will not move. I will tell you as a church that we can either face that together. If should that come, we can face that together. Or if you're unwilling, you can dismiss me as your pastor. But I will not move from the Word of God. I will not cave into pressure and go directly against my God, who is still the King of Kings and still the Lord of Lords and will forever be so. And let me be very clear. I do not hate gay people. I do not. I cannot. I commanded to love them just like anyone else. But I cannot and I will not condone a lifestyle of sin. And I will not give it a title that is reserved for a union that is declared holy in God's sight. And God is clear that this lifestyle is unholy. He calls it an abomination. He writes the rules, not me. My job is to follow. My job is to follow. In times like this, when we look around and we see in our nation, in our areas, in our communities even, when there's immense pressure. And I was discussing with a gentleman this morning, even this latest new thing where somebody is suing one of the Bible publishers to have all the verses I just referenced about where God calls homosexuality an abomination, to have those removed from the Bible. A $70 million lawsuit to have those removed from the Bible. And in this world where stuff like that is happening and going on, there's immense pressure. Okay, I'm reminded, when I think about pressure, I'm reminded of when I was a little boy, my mother cooking in the kitchen, and I would hear this little sound, and it sounded like this. Does anybody know what that sound is? A pressure cooker. Okay. I haven't used one since my mother when I was a little boy. But why did she use a pressure cooker? Oh, because the pressure, that intense pressure, made things tender. And it very well may be that God is allowing the pressure to make us tender, to make us receptive to the Holy Spirit, folks. In preparation for this message, I was drawn to Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. Believe you me, I have spent much time weeping. He's known as the weeping prophet because he wept for his nation. I have wept for my nation. They have forsaken God and were headed down a dark path. Jeremiah continued to warn the people to repent and turn from their sin, but they refused to listen. Jeremiah knew of God's impending judgment, and it broke his heart. Today, my heart is broken. I don't really know what to say about how I feel, except that my heart just breaks. I'm reminded of what David wrote in Psalms 51, beginning in verse 15. He wrote, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." I don't understand it all, except I know this. God will not despise a broken heart. He will not despise a heart that is contrite, a heart that is desires the trueness of God. A heart that is not proud and arrogant. A heart that is humble. Humble is derived from the same word as humiliate. The same thing. To be brought down low. When you're like that, when you find yourself at youth camp and you find yourself that you've got a broken and contrite heart, God doesn't despise that. He says, "It's about time." He does. And I think God even says, "Hey, y'all, come look at this." He calls his angels around and said, "Look at this. Look at this one. I've been waiting for this one. I've been working on this one. Y'all, hey, let's sing a song." And I think they start singing. I think they do. I think they start singing. And I think, I'm just guessing here, but I don't think they stand around going, "Holy, holy, holy." I'm thinking, that there's a party going on in heaven. I don't understand it all. You don't always understand it either. And often, here's our problem. Often what we want is an explanation. Don't we want an explanation? Why is this happening? Why are we going through this? Why do we do that? But here's the deal. I think what we often need is not necessarily an explanation, but an examination. An examination. Who am I? Who am I? What do I do? What can I do? I'm little old me. What can little old me do when our whole nation seems to be going down a dark road? What can I do? I'm glad you asked. The first thing I think we must do is to be obedient. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 39 and 40 says this: "Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth. There is no other. Keep His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord gives you for all time." I must keep His decrees and His commands. That is your responsibility. That has nothing to do with what the nation is doing, whether the governors, the presidents, the congressmen, the congresswomen, the senators, doesn't matter. You can be obedient to the Word of God. You must remain obedient to the Word of God. I will tell you, there are some laws that don't coincide with the Word of God. And I'm not promoting disobedience, but if you're given a choice, one or the other, there is no choice. There is no choice. The truth is in the Word of God. I must keep His decrees and His commandments. The second thing I must do is I must recognize that God is ultimately in control. Ultimately, God is in control. Even when things seem out of control, which they most certainly do. I'm reminded of Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up. Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Verse 5. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. See, it doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter how man, what laws they come with, up with. Lord, your statutes, your laws, your rules stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. How long is endless? Forever. Forever. In John 19, verse 10, Jesus was standing before Pilate. And Pilate was kind of looking for an excuse to not crucify Jesus. But Pilate was still kind of arrogant. And he told Jesus, he said, don't you realize? Don't you realize I have the power to either free you or to crucify you? He's telling Jesus, don't you realize I have the power of life or death over you? And Jesus responds, you would have no power over me if it weren't first given to you from above. Therefore, the one handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Jesus told Pilate himself, look, any power you have, you didn't come up with. You only have it because my Father gave it to you. God is ultimately in control. Even when things seem out of control, when things seem awkward and chaotic, God is still in control. Maybe at times we just don't understand what He's up to or how he's doing what He's going to do, but God is in control. Never, ever, ever forget that. The third thing that I must do is I must repent. I must repent. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and following says this. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended for it. God hears repentance. God hears a repentant heart. He hears you when you come to Him with repentance. Now, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of difference between being repentant and saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry just doesn't cut the mustard. Matter of fact, if I can remember them all, my wife teaches our children to do a four-point apology. Okay, four-point apology. Here's how it goes. I'm sorry. I know it was wrong. I won't do it again. Will you please forgive me? You see, that's more than I'm sorry. That's more like repentance. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. That's where it turns from apology to repentance. I have been doing this. Repent actually really means to do a complete turnaround. I'm doing this. Lord, I recognize that this is wrong. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm sorry. I apologize for what I've done. Not only that, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn that behind me. I'm going to not look back. I'm going to keep that behind me, and I'm going to go in this other direction. That is what repentance is. That is what brings nations back around according to God's Word. According to God's Word. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear. There's some prerequisites that have to go on. Repentance is one of those things. And that, my friend, is something that you and I can do. You and I can do. I must repent. The last thing I want to mention is that I will do my part and I will trust God to do His part. In Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. The light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power and have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. You see, God will do His part, but I still have a part to do. You still have a part to do. Our part is to live our lives according to the Scriptures and unashamedly proclaim God's mercy and grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is our part. I heard a story about these pastors. They were discussing which version of the Bible was the best version. One said, well, King James Version is the best version of the Bible there is. They said, why do you think that? He said, well, because it's very poetic. And I love the poetic. I love the Old English. And it's just grand. And I just love it. It's the best version of the Bible there is. Another says, well, okay, I see your point. But I think the best version of the Bible is the NIV. Why do you think that? Well, because it's easier to read. And our people today, they need something that they can read and understand so they can apply it to their lives. And I think it's just the best version of the Bible there is. I said, well, okay, well, I kind of see where you're coming from. I asked the third guy. He said, what is yours? He said, well, I think the best version of the Bible is the New American Standard Bible. He said, well, why do you think that? He said, because it's the most accurate. It's the most accurate word-for-word translation from the original languages, Hebrew and Greek, into English, and it's just the best, and I want to be as accurate as I can. I think it's just the best version of the Bible that there is. They said, well, okay. They asked the fourth guy. They said, what is the best version of the Bible in your mind? He said, well, I tell you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the best version of the Bible in my mind is. It's my dad's version. They said, which version is that? He said, it's the one that he lived out in front of me. It's the one he lived out in front of me every day. He lived it, and I saw it, and he acted it out, and he walked it. That's the version that stuck with me. That's the best version of the Bible that's out there. And folks, I will tell you that the best version of the Word of God is the one that's lived, and it's acted out, it's professed, it's proclaimed, one that is touching lives. What version of the Bible are you living out? Are you familiar enough with it even to live it out? Much about this world is out of control, folks. The one thing I can control is what I submit to and how I respond to its demands. I challenge you today, submit to God. Follow His commands. even if the world crashes around us, God will always have a remnant. He always has had a remnant. He always will have a remnant. Will you be part of it? Place your dependency upon God and trust in Him to fulfill His plan for you and in you and through you. Will you be faithful even when most turn away? I want to close with this verse that I did not give the guys. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Be cheerful no matter what. Be cheerful. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Thank God no matter what happens. Don't be confused. He doesn't say you got to be thankful for all the circumstances, but He says in all of their circumstances, be thankful. This is the way you who belong to Christ Jesus are to live. Continue to pray for the struggles. Continue to pray for the struggles. But celebrate what God is doing in the midst of the struggle. Be the remnant dependent upon God. This world, we're in a struggle. Our kids are in a struggle. And we can pray for their struggle. But when they come back and they testify about what God is doing in their lives, when we have what we had this morning, when we had four more baptisms, and possibly next week when we have more baptisms, folks, God is doing stuff even in the midst of darkness. Don't forget to celebrate those things. Don't forget to celebrate. Celebrate. God is doing great stuff. It's easy to get wrapped up. It's easy to get doom and gloom. I know because I've been there myself. But when it happens, remind yourself, God still does good stuff. He's still working with the remnant. He's still changing lives. He's still saving the lost. He's still bringing people, lost people, back to Him. He's still bringing the wayward child home. He's still healing people. He's still doing those things that He's always done. Celebrate those things. Pray for those things. Be part of those things. My time is about done because my voice is just about gone. What do you do with this? What do you do? What can I do? You can do these things. You can pray. You can trust that God is in control. You can trust God to do His part, and you can vow to do your part with a repentant heart. And you can celebrate God's goodness in the midst of darkness. We've had an outpouring, I believe, of God's Spirit this morning. Kids, thank you for leading us to worship this morning in a way that we have not done. Thank you. I'm reminded of Martin Luther King Jr. We've gone too far to turn back now. God is doing stuff. And when I feel the presence of God, the moving of God, I don't want to go where God is not. Not only that, but I want to keep moving to where God is working more. Let's get on that train. Let's get moving in that direction. Let's keep moving towards God. God is still doing stuff in this dark world. Are you going to be part of it? Are you? Some of you sound like you need to be convinced of it. I tell you, if you need to be convinced, read the end of the book. We win! We win! I love to be on the winning team. It's just not always easy. But it's well worth it. I guarantee it because Jesus Christ guaranteed it. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. So that where I am, you may be also. Guess why? Because he wants you with him. You want to go? I want to go. Maybe not today. But if he said so, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you? Are you? If you're not, don't leave today uncertain. Don't leave uncertain. Father, help us. Help us to be genuine. Help us to be real. Help us to be honest. Father, help us to be humble. Help us to desire you more than anything else. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Even in the midst of what appears to be a dark time. Father, you're no stranger to dark times. You've seen a lot of them, but you always work through the dark times. Father, use us. Work in us. Save us as a remnant. And allow us to move forward and continue to change our world. Help us to be bold. Empower us as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you have felt the tugging of the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning to do whatever you need, I challenge you to do it. Don't put that off. You respond to whatever the Holy Spirit has called you to do. I will be here in the front. Rebecca will be here with me. If you want us to pray with you, we'd love to do that. The altar is always open. This is your time. You respond to the Holy Spirit's call as we sing.
Lord, hear our cry. Come heal our land. Breathe life into these dry and thirsty souls. Lord, hear our cry. Your glory to dwell. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Lord, hear our cry. Your children worship. As we sing at your praise, would you make this a place for your glory to dwell? Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in from heaven.
us from heaven. Hear 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 us from heaven.
Praising your holy name.
sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restored, healing from all disease. And I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor you have, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor you have, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. I see heaven invading this place. I see angels praising your holy name. I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restored, healing all disease. And I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor, the one we give you praise and all of the glory. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, my God, and all of the glory, and all of the glory. Presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. Let your heaven come with us. Let heaven come. We will meet you face to face. Let heaven come. Give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God, and all of the glory.
Thank you. Thank you. God is doing stuff. Thank you for not quenching the spirit today. Thank you for not holding down or making somebody feel ashamed to come to the altar. To give, even when it's not even altar call time, when they would just want to come and raise their hands and sing praise to God. Thank you for providing an atmosphere where that's okay and safe. Thank you, because what you've done is you've just allowed somebody to take another step in faith, to take another step in their encounter with Christ, to take another step in the depth of their walk with Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank this church. I thank this church for who this church is and what this church is becoming. And I look forward to even still to what this church will continue to be in the future. I've been accused. I would tell you to sit down, but I don't want to. I've been accused of people have told me, oh, Brother Mike, you've done amazing things in this church. You've done this and you've led this and this has happened here and we wouldn't have this if it all weren't for you. And I got to tell you something. No leader can do anything without good followers. A leader going through the woods without followers is just taking a walk. It's you. It's you who are moving and shaking, doing things in this church. And thank you. Let's not stop. Let's not stop. God bless you. I love you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock, then 6 o'clock, all that good stuff. Anyway, Father in heaven, we love you. I thank you for this place. I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for the move of your Spirit in this place. And I ask, Father, that even as we wrap up things here in this time, that, Father, you would not wrap up your movement, that you would continue to convict, that you continue to speak and move on the way home as they go to their house or out to eat or wherever they go, Father. You continue to speak to our hearts. Draw us closer. Challenge us. Change us. Make us new. Continue to reproduce us. In Jesus' name, amen.